Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapperston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapperston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapperston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapperston Asset Management. Securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein. I'm a little tired today.
Why?
5:15 I got up. I kept on waking up every hour or two worrying about the snow and got up at 5:15, showered, before I showered, actually, unusual. I went out and did my shoveling.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I slept late.
Did you?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about you.
Right. We don't want to go there.
You can go anywhere you want these days. You
know. I don't know.
But right now, it is Saturday, February 6th, 2021, and it is about 10:03 in the morning. We're a little early. 10:03.
11:03.
Oh, 11.
By the.
Oh, okay.
You know where they're spending all their money?
Yeah, I know.
Is on the paper dispensers
in the
restroom.
Not on the clock, that's for sure.
The paper dispensers
is that
in the restroom.
Oh,
they got the automatic ones.
Oh, really?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's why they couldn't fix the clock.
It's about a year late.
Whatever.
With COVID.
Anyway, all right.
Go.
Now, we like sharing those kind of information. But we always do say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM, out of Buffalo, New York, at midnight. And if there is a sporting event at midnight, we will be on after the sporting event. Also, all of our shows are available every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. live streaming. If you go to our website, sapperston.com, sapperston.com, click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says live streaming, and you're all set. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived, so if you miss a show, you want to replay a show, once again, go to sapperston.com. This time, click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says Chat and Archives. Click on Archives, and tons of shows are there. Also, finally, last but not least, every week, there's a free economic report by Stone and McCarthy.
And you know what it's called, Pete? The
what?
Weekly Economic Report.
Oh, now it's the Weekly Economic Report.
Yeah. That's what it said.
Okay.
Anyway, they very nice, comprehensive charts, color. Very nice. They talk a little bit just how, although it's starting a little slow, they expect the economy to be positive. And I think with President Biden pushing the stimulus and the vaccines coming out, now people under 65 with comorbidities or pre-existing conditions can get the vaccine. Looks good. But, a couple of the major firms have said the S&P will be at 3,800 this year.
And it's above that.
It is. It's almost 3,900.
Yeah.
But Tom Lee, who I like, who, of course, everybody remembers Bitcoin at 20,000 and never hit it in 2017. Anyway, he said he thinks the S&P is going to be 4,300 this year, which is another 10 to 15% from here. So anyway, interesting reading, and it's free.
It's free. Everybody loves free.
There you go. Who doesn't?
But always remember, you get what you pay for.
Well, that's a thing, but this one is, I think, worth it. It's a good read, and it tells you what happened during the week.
Yeah, it's a nice, you know, it's a nice consolidated.
I don't always agree with
you. You can take opinions out of it, you know, just you know,
because we all have them,
right? Yeah, right or wrong. Right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541, 803-1520, or 800-879-7541. Right now, we're going to go to Tom in North Tonawanda.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Talk to David, you know.
Peter was squinting because he doesn't have his glasses.
I do have them.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Anyway.
Good morning, Tom. How you doing? A lot of snow or no? You got brush? Just a dusting?
Not too much, no. Maybe a couple inches.
Yeah, okay.
That's all that's on TV anymore is the weather.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's the only thing worth watching.
They don't have Trump to pick on, you know? So they, you know, they're picking on Mary Alice Demler, I guess. She said something the other night anyway, but what are you going to do?
Yeah,
everybody's got an opinion.
Yeah, but the line is apparently is the William Street exit of the thruway.
Is where
there
it
in
is?
South
okay.
is where it's really, really bad, I ran into somebody at Tim Hortons who came in from Orchard Park today. So that's what
there's our weather report.
There
you
go.
Enjoy that.
17 degrees.
Right.
Okay. First we look at Abbott, ABT.
Huh. We look at Abbott.
New country heard from.
What's that, Abbott?
Yeah, I haven't looked at it in a long time. Abbott Labs. 124.03 on the close.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, looks good. Nice breakout of a new consolidation. Take it for what it's worth. The price objective on the charting method is 162, which you wouldn't mind. And really like the way it consolidated since, you know, about September, August, September, and then finally broke out. You know, so right now support would be in the 102 to 111 area. But I would like to see it hold, you know, probably 112.
Yeah, one and a half dividend, not bad.
Yeah, support looks good. Looks like good position, and I'd stick with it.
Yeah, I purchased that at August 19 at $85.
Beautiful.
Yeah, nice.
Beautiful.
Great company.
I never really knew about Abbott at all, but when I had an operation on my heel, the doctor said that you better start drinking some Ensure. Ensure to drink. And ever since I've been drinking that, and I bought, naturally, I buy the stock, whatever I'm using.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, we said that before. That was the Peter Lynch thing. That's what he always said. If you observe something, you like something, look, think about investing.
I had an operation on my Achilles tendon.
Did you? Yeah.
Oh, man. Trouble. Terrible.
Bad. I know. I have a little problem on my right foot with, I think it's that, but the doctor tells me it's plantar fasciitis. Maybe I should try Ensure. I don't know. What's the Ensure do? Is it?
I don't know. He just says it's got a lot of nourishment in it.
All right.
You know.
So the vodka I drink that isn't good enough. I got you. All right. No. Very good.
Next one is Boston Scientific, BSX.
BSX, huh? Okay. You like the silence? Yeah, I do.
38.96 on the close. Never lasts.
It's amazing how it came back from the dead, you know. I remember, what was it down to, like $8 or something like that?
Yeah.
Well, I bought it in May of 13.
May 13th?
No, 2013.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, you know, surprisingly, do I have the right stock here?
BSX?
Yeah.
BSX.
And it's okay. It's not the greatest chart in the world, you know, but actually, the price objective is 25.
Yeah, what is it, 35?
Yeah, I know. Well, it's given a number of sell signals, you know. So I would say, I mean, if you're holding it, I mean, it's below the 200-day. No, it's above it. Just got above it. So that's good. So that's a potential positive. It's been consolidating. You know, you really want to see it stay above the 200-day ideally, you know, which is in the 37 area. Otherwise, it's in a trading range, really, you know, with the support being in the 33 area. So I would reevaluate it if it dropped to 32. And, you know, it would give a new buy signal if it gets to 40. So we shall see which way it heads.
Well, I bought it at $9.35.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, you bought it pretty close to the bottom.
Yeah. And one more I wanted to ask you about. I forget what it's going to ask. Oh, Boeing.
Boeing.
B-A. Boeing. B-A.
B-A. Good man. Mm-hmm. He repeated the symbol. You get a gold star for that. You're all right.
No, I'm not.
Is that all I get?
A potential price target based on the charting method is 250.
Close at 207.93.
Yeah. And that'd be pretty close to the high, which was, what, 244?
I think it's went
back in, it looks like it was maybe December.
No, 345, October. Pete.
No, I mean a high this year.
52. Okay, this year, I'm sorry. Okay.
Or, let's see, when was that high? Maybe late last year, whatever. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it looks all right. I'd reevaluate shorter term if it went to, say, 190. And definitely long-term investor, you want it to stay above the 200-day at 178.
Mm-hmm. Another tidbit I got to tell you, my son calls me Humble Pie. I don't know why.
Humble Pie?
Yeah.
He calls you Humble Pie.
Yes.
Well, I won't go there. We'll leave that for our listeners to interpret.
They can figure it out.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Well, we got a dreamer, right?
Oh, yeah. Got the dreamer. Maybe we're going to have Jason appeared after, I don't know how long, last week. So.
It was a joy to hear him again. He hasn't called in about 3 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Unbelievable. And then Bill, you know, we haven't heard from him in a little while, but he only calls in when he thinks he should.
Well, he had a lot of health problems.
Well, I know that, too. Yeah, that's true.
I got a good symbol for you, and I won't even tell you what it is.
Well, that'll be very nice.
It's B-H-O.
B-H-O?
That's not a stock. I'm going to give you those three letters. Next week, you can tell me what it stands for.
Okay.
Okay?
A little bit of a mystery.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice talking to you guys.
Nice talking to you. Have a good weekend. Take
humble.
Care.
You too. Humble.
Okay, yeah, humble pie. You. Very good.
Okay. Humble pie.
There you go.
Okay, right now, phone lines wide open, big white screen. 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. Or if for some reason you don't want to give us a call, you can go to the chat box at sapperston.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab. This is Chat and Archives. Click on Chat. Click on Join the Chat. I'm out of breath. And after you've done that, you can type in a question, type in a symbol. And if you do type in a symbol, let us know what you're looking to do with it. So right now, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. And we're going to the chat box.
Yes. Somebody wants to know, I don't know if they own it or not, but they want to know about renewable energy, REGI, which closed at 98.88.
You're kidding me.
Why would I kid you?
I can't believe that stock's up there.
Maybe it did a reverse split.
Yeah, it could have been, but I doubt it. I mean, look at this. Look at this. I mean, I think it was almost a penny stock many years ago.
Well, 52-week low is 16, so.
Yeah, well, yeah. And now it's unbelievably up there, closing at, what'd you say, 98, 68?
88. But what's 20
cents? No, it looks like 68 on here.
Could be.
You got your glasses on?
I do.
Get
I got
new ones.
Prescription.
It's 68 on here. But anyway. And
68 on here.
No, very good. 200-day is back at 47, so that gives you no help. The 50-day is at 77. You know, it just depends on this craze now, you know, for green energy. And, you know, these are very volatile. Big run. I would say, I mean, technically, take it for what it's worth, whatever that is, based on the point and figure chart method, 171 price target. And I guess if people keep falling head over heels in love with these kind of companies, that can continue to happen. Would give a short-term sell signal at 94 with a potential to drop to 88. Certainly under 77 would be a problem. But, you know, theoretically, we see what you really want to see now is a move back up to at least 100, which isn't that far, which would give a new buy signal, new target to the upside. And if it did that and then kept moving up and takes out about the 108 area, 108, 109, then that would be a new high and off to the races again. So, you know, watch your downside risk. I mean, you know, be aware that, you know, if you do get a sell signal at 94, it could drop to test 88, and if it dropped to 87, then it could go back to test the 50-day at 77. So it depends on, you know, how much investigation, research. We always say do your own research, how you feel about it, whether you want to take a partial position, you want to wait. You know, theoretically, on the price objective on the chart, the risk-reward looks good. So think about those levels I gave you below it, and we'll go from there. And it did make a lower high and would make a lower low if it did drop to 94. So, you know, just be aware of that. You know, it's a wacky environment out there. So that's about it.
Yep.
So right now, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. And we're going to go to who?
Dreamer.
Good morning.
They mentioned your name, and it's just like Aladdin's lamp. You popped up, and that was it.
Those don't correlate. Well, that doesn't correlate.
Hi, Willard. When I talked to you the other day, my favorite stock was at 206. I should have had you buy it.
Well, you should have, because I recommended it to a friend of mine who's a gold bug, you know.
Oh, that's cool, because what did NSRPF close?
And he's not a client. You know, so I don't want, you know, all these regulators, you know, and everything. You know?
No problem.
It's Greco, GR, ECO.
But anyway.
What did it close at?
What's that? Oh, I didn't check, you know.
Well, you can check now.
I don't know if I can, because I don't think anybody follows that company.
It's all over the internet, Peter.
Is that internet still around?
The last I saw.
Is Homer Simpson?
The last I saw, it was 235 on Friday.
Oh, it went up again.
Nice pop.
Yeah, well, I bought some from Ken.
Ken?
Yeah. I was going to call you earlier, but you weren't answering your phone.
Well,
I don't think it really matters.
And his three assistants must have been tied up, too.
Yeah, I've been getting everybody in your place of business here lately. So,
well, that could be a good sign. That means we're really busy. You know, so.
That's good.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, they've been pumping out the articles again, you know.
Well, last week it hit a low of $1.72.
Yep.
And I figure it would go up to a quick buck, so we're on.
You're on track.
Yep. And what did SLV close at?
Good old, hey, nice bullish article on silver and Barron's this weekend.
Yeah, silver's going to go.
But what he says, what the guy says is silver's worth 30 to 35.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
Yeah.
Well, I could, but it wouldn't do me any good. You can't find it.
And then I got one of my friends, among the many of my friend conspiracy theorists, you know, and basically he said that they're keeping the price of silver down because they, you know, would really hurt the solar panel business, you know.
Yeah.
And according to my friend, you know, he said silver should really, if you look at the ratio it used to trade at, the gold years ago, should be trading at $100 you know, an ounce. So
$100 could get scary because
it would hurt a lot of things, you know.
$100 an ounce.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That would be wild. And I'm glad you brought that term up, conspiracy theory.
Yep.
Do you and everybody else that use that really understand where that came from?
No.
Well, let me tell you.
Do we have enough time for this or what?
Yeah, that's pretty quick. In 1967, everybody was going crazy about the assassination of Kennedy. So the CIA put out the theory, conspiracy theory, to invalidate everybody that was questioning what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it caught on as a negative thing, which, you know, is exactly what they wanted it to do, because believe it or not, people didn't believe any of that happened.
Really?
Really.
They think he's still alive?
Well, if that's true,
it's with Elvis. Know,
because he was born in 1917.
Who was born in 1917?
Kennedy.
Was he?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
My mother.
He'd be a little old right now, but anyway.
Yeah, chances of that are very unlikely. But
well, if people put the pieces together, right, they may remember that Joe Kennedy screwed the powers that be, or the mob that ran the Teamsters Union. So, who knows?
They were running.
Because they made a deal that, if you helped us win the election, and which they did, that we will leave you alone, and not go after, the Teamsters and whatever. And so Robert Kennedy went after them even worse.
Somebody didn't do their research, I'll tell you that. Because there's no doubt that Robert Kennedy was going to be Attorney General.
But. Oh, yeah.
So do you know where how much silver is mined, where the silver that's out there, where it comes from, not the country, but what percentage of silver that comes out of the ground, where it comes from, directly mining silver?
It's
a byproduct, isn't it? Well,
30% comes from going after silver. 70% is the byproduct of copper, zinc, gold. Yeah. I thought that was very interesting. I don't know why, but I just thought that was interesting.
So we shall see. We shall see.
And apparently they're not mining enough.
Oh, I heard that, and they're not. And it's many years before you can bring a mine into production. So I think they said in the average 6 or 7 years before you can bring a new mine into production.
Anywhere in the world?
Yep.
Really?
And yeah.
I've been waiting 8 years for my favorite stock to become a mine.
And these days, with all the environmental stuff, it just gets worse.
Yeah, but why would it be different in Africa than it is in, Pennsylvania?
Why would it be different?
I mean, I didn't think there were such harsh regulations throughout the rest of the world.
Well, I don't know, I'm not saying it has to do with the regulations. I'm just saying they say the average time to bring a mine into full production is 6 to 7 years.
Yeah, because several stocks I owned years ago,
they were, that one's been going on and on for years and years and years,
Yeah, nothing ever happened.
Nothing ever happened, yeah.
And then when Trump got in, they were going to change the regulations, but that never happened either.
Yeah, I know, right. So
it just doesn't make sense to me. We'll discuss
that some other day.
Anyway,
It's basic manipulation, David, and for the people who are making all the money.
Exactly.
That's the way it's always been, right? Yeah.
Respectfully.
People have to recognize nothing's fair. Life has never been fair, okay?
Yeah, without a doubt.
And almost everything is manipulated one way or the other.
Yes,
so.
One way or another.
That's right.
Okay.
And it's generally people with a lot of power and a lot of money. So.
That's right.
I'm sitting looking out my window. I can't even get out right now. So.
Really?
We got quite a bit of snow here, but I use a cane feeder, and I don't go out.
I don't blame you. Where do you live?
Don't give the address.
No. Well, what town are you in?
In Dubuque.
Okay, yeah.
I've lived in Depew and Chittawaga, this area, for about 20 years.
I got you.
Our favorite places.
I was originally born on the east side of Buffalo.
So should I be able to go to Chick-fil-A on Walden Avenue
today?
Oh,
big question. He's been talking about
that. That's the most important thing to me today.
Yeah, I'm probably about 3/4 of a mile from there.
Okay.
It's a question. Guess what they're opening in Hamburg, New York?
What?
My wife asked me the other day. Chick-fil-A.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's more in Blaisdell, though, actually.
So. I've yet to have one.
Oh.
It is fantastic.
The best.
That's what I hear. One of these days, I'll get in line.
And good milkshake. The lines aren't that bad.
They have the best chicken nuggets I've ever tasted.
No, they're not bad at all now, because I shop at Wegmans.
Oh.
The new one is right in front of Wegmans.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're doing a great
advertisement
digression
and
show
and Peter are
but anyway
starved.
So what else do you want to talk about?
Well, I'm sure you have a lot of people.
Oh, we do now. You woke everybody up.
Well,
and Jason's coming on next,
so you take it. Yeah, hi Jason.
Warning.
Okay.
Warning.
Jason told me that I'm the silver guy, not him.
Okay, we'll think about that one. Okay.
Take care.
Okay,
thanks.
Okay, right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And we're going to go to Jason. And it says, the silver guy. I don't know. Okay.
I got to tell you, I've never seen so much market manipulation as I have this past week.
Oh,
And even silver. No, whatever. But even silver.
Now David's making faces. You know, he doesn't believe any of this stuff. He thinks the world is a fair, level place.
No. I just don't get into it. So.
Right.
Sorry.
Okay.
Hey, understand, Dave, you can look up a simple fact who the top five holders of FLV are, and you'll find that Citadel.
Well,
I would do that
if I had an interest in it. I don't. That's the problem.
Okay.
I don't care.
I didn't really call about
Citadel. No, I'm not. You can do it. Listen, you other people can. I just don't get excited.
He doesn't care about anything.
Well, I do.
Just don't interrupt anything intelligent. Then just sit there for a minute, okay?
Right.
When will that happen?
What I'm saying is, you had basically like CNBC pushing, saying Reddit was pushing the short squeeze on SLV, and nothing could be further from the truth. And I mean, there's absolutely no investigative journalism. If anybody on that website, they would see that they were the largest shareholders of SLV were the same companies and hedge funds that these companies were looking to go against.
Right.
And I really called more so for the shenanigans and everything that had happened with the GameStop short squeeze.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you in your lives as traders, and you've been in the market forever, have you ever seen where they stop the buy side of a thing and you couldn't even buy puts? I told some people of mine, hey, pick up some puts. Like I said last Saturday, you know what I mean, on GameStop and everything else, and then go along the shares because those shares are really quite valuable, the actual real shares. And, you know, basically, friends of mine, they couldn't even buy puts on this thing. So you had extreme price action that you could have made an absolute killing on both the downside and then the upside.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
And they wouldn't let you do it. I mean, that's absolutely nutty.
The only time I saw that before was on silver.
Yeah, back in the hunt days?
The hunt days, yeah.
Yeah.
They said, you can't buy anymore. All you can do is liquidate it, so they killed silver.
Yeah, and I've always said for silver, bullion is what you buy if you want to hedge for inflation. You don't buy the SLV stuff.
Yeah.
But it's funny because, and then, you know, they're basically saying at the CNBC, oh, they covered their short position. It is mathematically impossible for them to have covered their short position. What they did is they made it look, and I do a lot of research on this stuff, they actually made it look like they covered their short position by writing calls. And then what they did is on the way down, they would write them, you know, pretty much like way in the money calls, take the premium, and then they would go to basically cover them calls. However, when they did that, they were filling it with synthetic shares. They weren't actually getting the real shares in the market. And these market makers and broker dealers who do these things can actually, you know, do that. Because if you look at the fail to delivery numbers that had come in, these shares are not coming in because people hadn't read it and this and that. They're holding this thing down to zero or whatever because they truly believe in what they're trying to do. So I'm just saying I've never in my life seen such market manipulation just so blatant between hedge funds working together with media. You know what I mean? And it's just absolutely amazing to me. I mean, how do you invest in a market? I mean, when I got out originally back in like 2007, 2008, because I seen the writing on the wall. I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing is like way overvalued. It should be correcting. It's about time anyway. And unfortunately, my timing was off, and I missed it by a few months, and I got out in the summer of 08, go figure. So my point is now here you had something just so glaringly obvious, you know what I mean? And between the manipulation of the media and everything you had with the false stories, you know, and then them pushing people into silver, thinking that was what they were doing, it was nothing could be further from the truth.
No, I agree, you know, but that's the whole problem with the media in general, so...
And you guys mentioned Kennedy, since you guys know me to be the wackadoo. You know what executive order John Kennedy signed 10 days before he got killed?
No.
He signed an executive order to no longer borrow money from the basically like the World Bank, the Federal Reserve, which is not federal, and he was going to go back to printing our own money interest-free. And within an hour of him being declared dead, that is the very first thing Johnson reversed the executive order on. So people can push the narrative of Cubans and mobsters and gremlins or whatever the hell you want to say. Mm-hmm. But when you mess with the biggest world's, you know what I mean, power force, that's usually what ends up happening.
Right. And I always recommend if anybody can find Captains and the Kings, that's the way the world works. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I don't know. I find the GameStop story absolutely fascinating.
Yeah,
it'll
be written about for years, believe me.
But the stock, I just Googled it. It's still 113% short.
Supposedly.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. It is.
Wait a minute. That was the 29th.
Yeah.
So it looks like I don't know what
it is.
Who
knows what it is, yeah.
And the S-3 filing, which comes out from the SEC, comes out like 2 weeks after the fact, which mentions...
Right.
Short, I mean, which makes it just like useless information when it's 2 weeks after the fact, you know?
Right, oh yeah.
It's amazing in the 21st century you can get your Chick-fil-A sandwich faster than you can get a filing from the SEC. But, it's just amazing. Like, there's no way, like you said, I don't know if you watch CNBC. I try not to watch them, but if I am around, I mean, they were saying, oh, they covered their short position. There was no possible way you could drop the price of a stock. And when you take away the ability to buy and the ability of options and you're only letting the hedge funds play, you know what I mean? And they're dropping. They're not short covering when they're doing it. They just kept basically shorting it from higher levels to kind of cost average up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the smarter funds and so forth, you know, just switched to the other side and they made money, you know, eventually, you know. So.
And here's something that I find funny. Janet Yellen got $815,000 in speaking fees from Citadel, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now,
and also Bernanke's a consultant for them.
Yeah, and all of a sudden they opened up an investigation on GameStop, right? So you're like, yeah, there might actually be some justice in this country, right?
Well,
no,
they're
investigating Reddit. They're not investigating
the
funds that shorted more than there is in existence.
Right.
But
somehow in all of this we have to find a way to make money, right?
Well, I think what's going to happen is basically you're going to have a loss of confidence in the just average investor who's younger. As they're going to remember this moment,
mm-hmm.
and you know what I mean? I just think you're going to have a lot less money going in, being like, hey, you can't win a rigged game, let the rich guys play it.
Well, we'll see. Okay.
Later, guys.
Take care. Thanks for calling. Have a good weekend there. Okay, we're going to take a quick one-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo 854-7541, toll free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management.
On your side of the studio.
Securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA.
It's your side of the
right
studio.
Right now,
the lights are
phone
flickering.
Lines are wide open, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541.
Conspiracy.
And you're wondering what we're laughing at, you know, since we've been doing all this conspiracy theory talking, all of a sudden there's a fluorescent light flashing.
Right over Peter.
Right over my head.
It's all over.
Right. All right, right now we're going to go to Ed in Amherst, who's been patient. Thank you.
Kaboom.
Good morning, Peter and David.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I got two stocks I want you to take a look at for me.
Okay.
The first one is Gevo, G-E-V-O.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Somebody else has been calling us about that for quite a while.
It's an alternative fuels?
Yeah, and they did. It's been used on airplanes. I don't know if it ever got fully adopted or anything. But, I mean, the stock still looks all right.
What's the symbol? I can't
find. G-E-V-O.
Oh, V-O. I'm sorry. I thought it said B-O. Yeah.
And I don't know why the price objective doesn't make sense at all.
It's a conspiracy.
Yeah. But anyway, it closed at 11:55. Guess where the 200-day is? $2. So this is, anything alternative energy, green, all this stuff is a wild craze right now.
And,
so right now it looks like it's going back to test the 1450 high. If it hits 15, you have the potential of 23. Don't forget, it can be a very volatile stock, as you probably know.
The sector is very hot right now.
Exactly. Yeah, right. And we always say that, pick a sector, try to pick a good stock in that sector, pick the sector that's very strong. And I'd probably reevaluate it maybe if it went back to 950.
Okay. My next stock is Tessero, TNSP.
Boy.
Take a look at a three-month chart of that, or a month chart.
Yeah, what kind of company is that?
They're going to be into competition with PayPal. They're already in 40 countries.
Really?
And
what's
it's
the symbol?
Just
I can't find
the groundwork.
It. Yes.
They're going to switch to the symbol HMBL.
We can't find anything under Tom, Sam, Nancy, Paul. So is that the symbol you're saying?
I believe it's TNSP, Tessero.
TNSP.
TNSP?
No,
that's
results.
Bad. What's the name of the company?
Tessero.
How do you spell that?
T-E-S-O-R-O. Tessero.
Oh, okay. So originally when you were saying it wasn't there a Tesoro Petroleum years ago? Yeah.
I don't find
it. No, it could be TSNP. I could be.
No, it's not that either.
TNSP. It's on a small market.
Oh. What was it trading at?
The invisible market. I don't
find $1.36 right now.
Oh, that's probably why.
It came up from 60 cents where I got in. And now it's $1.36. Very heavy volume. They're going to have a market similar to PayPal. It's in 40 countries already.
Really?
Yes. TNSP, I believe, is the symbol.
No, I went to stock charts, and that doesn't even come up over there.
Tesoro, T-E-S-O-R-O.
Yeah, here it is. Tesoro Enterprises. It shows TSNP, Pete, but I got it. I just Googled it. It's $1.38.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to tell you because
it's
can't.
It's a blockchain play.
Yeah, it's blockchain. Okay. Well, all I can say is I see that Bitcoin's over 40,000 again. And and if the Bitcoin, Ethereum, and so forth and so on keep rising, this should be a beneficiary of it too. Plus, if it's a payments kind of system, using blockchain and so forth, that's a hot area right now.
Elon Musk came out and said something about it was stock was like half a cent or something like that. One of the stocks, I don't know what it was. It was Thursday. But anyway, hot area.
Okay.
Don't know anything about it.
Don't know anything about
research.
It. But we'll take a look. Not today, though.
And Peter.
Yeah.
Did you buy back into Digital Turbine? Did you take a look at it?
Of course not. I don't even, where is it? 200?
77.
Unbelievable. I mean, I don't know. Did they have a reverse split by any chance?
No.
No?
No. We first mentioned that it was around $6 a share.
Yeah, the guy sold it way back at two. Yep. Figures.
ATPX.
Figures.
Yeah. You're just ahead of your time, Pete.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Gentlemen, enjoy the weekend.
You too. Okay, you take too. Care. Yeah, thank okay. you very much for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Right now, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. We're going to go quickly to the chat box.
Oh, somebody wants to know if they should buy more MSTR, which closed at...
Oh, my God.
$806, but...
All right, this is a company that's put all of its reserves, cash reserves, into Bitcoin.
Wow.
So it's going to move with Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And
just so we know, on December 8th, Citigroup downgraded it from neutral to sell.
I can't imagine why they did.
That's a conspiracy. It's... They're probably buying it.
They're probably buying
it.
Yeah, and that happens, believe it or not. That happens. So I don't know what to tell you. I mean, this is going to move because I think he now has, don't hold me exactly. I thought they said now they have $1 billion of their reserves all in
I hope
Bitcoin.
They don't lose their password, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's going to move with that. So anyway.
There you go. Pick a point.
Take it for what it's worth. The price objective based on the point and figure charts, 1,072. And supports probably back at 700. And it closed at 806. So still, you know, up to 1,000, be 200 points.
After hours,
points.
It's 817.
Yeah. So, you know, 2-to-1 risk reward. Just depends if you want, you know, read up. Do your research on the company, you'll find that's the main reason that this is really a total Bitcoin play now. And certainly as long as Bitcoin goes up, and you know, looks like Bitcoin's over 40,000 again today. The high not too long ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, was 42,000,
I think. Did it get that high?
Yeah, yeah. So just watch the price of Bitcoin. You know, if Bitcoin takes a plunge, this will take a plunge. If Bitcoin just keeps going up, this will keep going up.
Yeah, you want to do one more quick from
Real
the
quick,
chamber?
Yeah. And it
wants to know an entry point for ENB. Closed at 35.17.
ENB?
Yes, B as in boy.
Okay, ENB. Enbridge. I think they're, aren't they a utility company? Yeah, pretty sure. Canadian, I think. But anyway.
Oil and gas.
Oh, it's oil and gas?
Really? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what it says.
Interesting. But anyway, you know, it just gave a nice buy signal. It's broken out of a nice base. Let's take a look at 200 days, 31.46, 50 days, 33.39, closed at 35.17. It's above both of those. I would not have a problem. I mean, if it went back to the 200-day, you're talking 31.5. You know, wouldn't like to see it back under the 200-day, but, you know, basically, I mean, the price objective for what it's worth, based on the charting method, is 52. I'd look into it a little further. If it's oil and gas, and certainly oil prices have gone up, certainly in a right area, it's been one of the hottest sectors. It's a gas utility. Yeah.
Thank you, President Biden.
What?
For oil or for gas going up.
Oh, okay. But anyway, I mean, it looks like it can be bought at any time. It just depends on whether you want to buy some now and maybe it pulls back. But even the 50 days at 33, and this is at 35. So it depends on, you know, if you're a person who's bothered by the fact it could pull back a couple points, then either buy a little and wait for the rest or just wait. But, you know, if I were looking at it, it looks like the next target for me would be 43. So the risk-reward looks good now.
All right.
Yep. Okay. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. And we're going to go to Jack in Lockport. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
Hi, Jack.
Certainly good to see that sunshine out again.
Yeah. Any snow up there?
Yeah, we don't get it too badly. This is a pretty good area. I'm just actually north of Lockport, and yeah, we have a few inches, but it's not anything you can't deal with.
And it's a nice light snow, thank God.
Yeah, that, and that's the best part of
exactly.
it. Exactly. Right, so. Calling about, well, a couple things, but mainly Qualcomm. QCOM, Queen, Carol, Oscar, Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Had a big drop. Thursday was down almost 9% and about another percent Friday. It came down from about 74 to 64. They're really big in 5G and a good company, but I guess what happened is I dropped my notes, so I'm not sure. I think it was the income was up, but the profits were down or something. So anyways, there was a big sell. And I'm wondering if this might be an opportunity because it is a good company.
Yeah, close at 145.84. You said 77.
I thought it went from 74 to 64.
No.
Qualcomm?
Qualcomm?
Yeah, QCOM.
The high was 166.
Okay.
And now it's 145. That right. I mean, it's the right stock, not the right prices.
Oh, 166, 145. Okay, yeah. Maybe I had it wrong. Maybe thinking of something else.
That's
but,
right.
So
yeah,
anyways,
but
does this look like it might be an opportunity to buy?
In general, it's worked out in this market that these kind of things turn out to be buying opportunities
right.
in strong trending stocks. You know,
yeah.
I didn't read. You know, you'd look into a little bit more why their profits were down and their
revenues
were up.
Well, they had a capacity constrained quarter, which I think.
Oh, really?
They couldn't get chips. Does that sound familiar, Jack?
That might be. That
they
might
couldn't
be.
Get
there
chips.
Was a problem.
So I would think it would be
temporary.
A buy. Yeah,
I would think so too. It looks like an opportunity.
And you know, when there's disappointments in this market, they hit them.
And know? Then they come back.
Yeah, it seems
I mean,
that way.
I've seen a number of them. They hit them one day, and the next day it goes to a new high.
Do your own research. No conspiracy
right,
in that.
No.
Right, no, because it is a solid company. And,
yeah.
So something like this happens, you sometimes want to jump on it.
Yeah,
so.
Support, yeah. You know, is in the 140, 142 area.
Right here.
And, it looks like it could very well be an opportunity.
Okay. All right, good. And I want to know what you think about Integer Holdings, ITGR, Ida, Tom.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah, ITGR,
right?
Got
yeah,
it.
The old Great Batch.
Oh, really? Holy cow.
Yeah, it was the old Great Batch. I got it, and of course, I don't know if there's still any presence here. They started in Clarence and moved their headquarters to Dallas.
Yeah, I just want to disclaim my cousin works there and has for years.
Okay, and still
get out
still,
of it.
Still near it.
No, it's a good side.
Anybody
of the
related to David, get out of there.
It's a good side of the family.
No. Yeah. So actually, I had purchased shares back in 2004 at 1376.
Yeah, I can't believe I stopped looking at this company probably back then. You know, so.
Yeah, and is there still room for growth, you think?
Well, I mean,
it was a thinly held company,
yeah,
so I don't know.
It had a nice pullback. Stock closed
was about 33 million shares outstanding.
Oh, that's not a lot.
Yeah, it's not much at all. Mm-hmm. It's a little under the 50-day to 200 days at 71, and the support, say, between 71 and 73. I would like to see it give a new buy signal after having given two sell signals now at 80. You know, so 80, it looks like it's trying the reverse. I see it went up a little on Friday, it looks like. And, you know, so if you get to 80, it would, you know, come up with a new bullish price target. And you have a lot of resistance between 84 and 87.
Okay. Yeah. So,
so you definitely want to see it hit 80. You
know? All right. So it still looks like there's could be room for growth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, even though it's gone up so much. All right. The last one. RFP, Ronald, Fred, Paul, Resolute Forest Products. I purchased this at about 450, a little over 450 a share. We got up to 9, and then they had their earnings report last week, and it's come down, I think, close around 790. And
that's exactly
what
right.
We think about this. I tend to hold on to things. I almost doubled my money, and but I tend to hold on. Sometimes
company.
I lose out, so I'm just calling to see what you think.
Is this the fake wood company or?
This is a Forest Products. They're a Canadian company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But is it actually wood or is it the what is the kind of product? Somebody had a product.
They have a number of things. They're in the paper products. They're in the they're different. They're a variety of things,
right. Yeah.
As far as wood.
Interesting. Okay. So closed at 790.
Right.
After hitting what, 9 or so?
Hit 9, just above, just a fraction above 9, maybe. But.
And yeah. What'd you say? Did you say earnings came out or?
Yeah, earnings came out last
week. February
4th,
yeah.
Now, actually, they had a big loss the last quarter of I don't know how many million. They had a loss this past one again, but it was less than the time before. But maybe it was more than what was expected, so it came down. Despite the loss 2 quarters ago, it really jumped up. But then they had another loss, so I don't know. Maybe it was, like I said, more than what was expected.
Essentially, why are they losing money, though? I mean,
I don't know, because I think it was like $64 million, something like that. It was $61 million. It was quite a bit.
I mean,
well,
so,
with ESG out there, they don't want anybody cutting trees down.
Okay.
Well, that Canada is something they, yeah.
Well, anyway.
And there's a lot of huggers out there, Pete.
Yeah, I would say, you know, looking at, I mean, the price objective for what it's worth that hit it was 9.25.
Okay.
And
trees have feelings.
It's got resistance, obviously, in this area. It's at the downtrend line, so you don't want to see it, you know, get, you know, if it pulled back to, say, 750, I probably wouldn't want to see that. Because it could mean the downtrend line stopped it. So I'd watch it very carefully here.
Okay, I will. I
would sell.
About maybe
there you go.
Getting rid of it. But I like to hold things at least a year, get that capital gain. But
right.
This got me in the past, and I've ended up actually doubling in some things and ended up losing money because I've held it. So I guess, you know.
Oh, no question. There was a great in the options column. I think it's the strike price in Barron's. And the guy said, you know, you got a big profit. You got 100% profit or so. You know, take profits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? Okay. And, you know, and talking about opportunities, okay, here's an example. Like you talked about Qualcomm. Snap. All right, Snap came out with their earnings, came out with a kind of not a lower outlook or something, you know, ahead. Stock gets hit for like 10% or something like that. And so it comes down, I forgot what it was, 54, 50, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it had almost a 10% drop. And you know where it is right now? It's almost 12 to 14 points above where it was after the earnings came out.
Wow, right.
Yeah, so, $63.
Yeah, just unbelievable.
64.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I would, you know, if you're a person who thinks you know what's going to happen with news and, you know, yeah, so it gets hit, but it turned out to be an opportunity, and yeah, look at it. So anyway.
Well, then with this Resolute Forest, I guess it's maybe your advice, keep half, sell half.
That's always good, too.
Yep,
I was going to say that.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely.
And then
don't, you know, so if it doubles again, who cares?
You right, you still mean? Have something in it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Guys, thank you so much.
All
okay,
right,
stay
take
safe,
care.
Jack.
Thank you very much for calling.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, bye.
Got somebody in the chat box?
Yep,
Sam?
Got several. The person owns CDEV, wants to know if you should hold it or sell it. He says, we have a great show. Kansas City, he says. I don't know about
go
that.
Go Kansas City. I think Brady's going to do it, but we'll see.
Yeah.
CDEV, at the moment, it's an oil stock, apparently.
Yep, oil and gas.
And it's called, Centennial Resource Development. Oil's going up. You know, as long as oil's strong, which it looks like it is, to say the least, it's been, you know, one of the stronger sectors, or the strongest sector in the last, 3 months. Yeah, so I would definitely, well, it depends on what price. I mean, if you have a big gain or you have 100% gain, you might take some money off the table. Right now, the price objective for what it's worth is $8.50. It's in resistance. If it can keep moving up here, not far-fetched that it could go there, but you never know. So you got a big profit, take some off the table and hold the rest. So it looks like, in general, you know, definitely a hold, but with maybe some profit for you if you have a big profit.
Got it. Next one, Starbucks, SBUX, closed at 106.48. Person owns it. Would like to know your price target and a downside sell signal price.
Okay.
Those are good questions, aren't they, Pete?
Very. We like good questions.
There you go. Yeah. No conspiracies here, please.
It's like... No. I remember years ago, we used to have a show when we started, and we'd get all sorts of questions like at banks or something, you know, can you do this and can you do that? And, you know, this at least is all.
Can you?
I don't know.
Going in the Wayback Machine.
Starbucks, price objective, based on the point and figure chart method. I think they just had some kind of good news come out, too. I can't remember what it was. But anyway. Price objective, 127.
Grande. That's a grande.
Now, was he looking to buy it or sell it? Or
he owns it. He wanted to know a price target.
Yeah, potential price target's 127.
He likes that.
So I like that. And
when would you sell it on the downside?
Downside, not to sell it, but we always say reevaluate it. Because sometimes, you know, a stock can move down only because the market had a real bad day or something like that, you know. So, you know, when you get a sell signal and you don't see anything out there, then that could be more important. So, technically, a sell signal would be 95, and the 200-day is 86. So it depends on how long you've held it. Certainly, staying above 86, 87 long-term is okay. But on the chart, then the next shorter-term buy sell signal would be 95.
So that you would reevaluate at 95?
Yep.
Okay.
And see, you know, the background. Okay.
Okay.
So that's it?
Got about 40 seconds. There's a couple, but I don't think we're
not going to be able to get to them, unfortunately. Yeah.
So what do we think about Sunday?
Sunday, I think Tampa Bay is going to win.
So. Yeah, me too.
But we shall see.
I don't know. You can't Brady just – God, I just
– Well, anyway, if Kansas City can put tremendous pressure on them, then it's a different story.
And as Mike Duda in our office says, I wouldn't – I don't want Kansas City. They beat us. I agree with that.
Okay. So anyway, as we always say, until next week, keep some powder dry. Don't be afraid to take some profits. Watch out for FOMO, fear of missing out. You know, I'm not going to sell it because I could double from here, you know, and so forth. But – you know,
well, that's why you can
it's always
part.
Good to take some off. Yep. Take care.
Have a good weekend.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.